The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today, Pastor Jensen Franklin provides life-giving steps to help you tackle the things trying to overrun your life.
What we need to understand is God only stirs the nest so that the wings that He's given us can cause us to soar victoriously and overcome everything hell brings against our life.
Overcoming when you feel overwhelmed. Next on Life Today.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. Sheila Walsh is here as well.
Hey, everyone.
And today we have a wonderful guest, someone who's been with us many times. And, you know, when we saw his new book, Overcoming When You Feel Overwhelmed, we're like, hey, that describes most of us these days. So we are excited to have Jensen Franklin back on the program. Jensen, great to see you.
It's wonderful to be with you, Randy and Sheila, and love watching the program as much as I can. It's just a blessing for all that you're doing around the world.
I can imagine being a pastor, as you are, up at Free Chapel in Gainesville, Georgia. You're dealing, especially over the last couple of years, with people that are just dealing with chaos in their lives. And it seems like, you know, we've gone from COVID to sort of this cultural unrest, and now the economics are eating people up. What are you trying to tell us in the midst of all this chaos?
Well, I think that a lot of people are genuinely feeling overwhelmed. It's not just one thing. The pandemic wrecked a lot of things for people, but it's multiple situations that sometimes cause us to feel like that we're being overwhelmed. And even people in the Bible, some of the strongest prophets, men and women of God, went through down times, tough times, overwhelming times. I was thinking about it today. Jeremiah said, I want to retire from the ministry. Things got so bad. He got so aggravated with his congregation that the scripture said, he said, I'm going to start a hotel out in the wilderness and go into business. I'm done with ministry. Jonah said, I'm going on a cruise. I'm getting out of here. I'm going fishing. Peter went back to fishing when he really got discouraged and overwhelmed with fear and worry and persecution. And, you know, I think there's a great description of the times that we're in Job chapter 29. When Job talks about, I wish we could go back to how it was before a crisis hit. And it says this in Deuteronomy chapter 32, said that like a mother eagle stirs up the nest, so the Lord will do to His people. And it feels like that every family that I talk to, every person that I talk with, every pastor that I relate to and talk with, their nest has been busted up. Mm-hmm. We're living in the time when the nest, everything that was cozy, everything that was, you know, wonderful. Job had everything beautiful, beautiful family, beautiful wealth and health and security and comfort. And in one day, his nest got busted up. He lost his health, his wealth, his children, his marriage went into a crisis. It was just insane, and it all hit in a day. And I don't know of anyone who hasn't gone through the busted nest syndrome of just in the last few years, things that you thought would stay. That's what Job said in the 29th chapter. He said, I thought I would remain. He said these words, I thought I would die in the nest. Mm-hmm. I thought that once I reach where I am, these are the easy years. And these are the years I won't face major crisis. But, you know, the thing about God is God never intends for us to just settle down in our nest and rest. If God has His hand on your life, there's going to be periodically seasons where He comes by and He allows our nest to be busted up. And we are all different, but we all understand pain. We all understand division in families. We all understand the agony of divorce. We know someone or have someone in our own family who's gone through that emotional meat grinder. We all know what it's like to get a bad health report or know someone that has. All of a sudden, your nest gets busted up and you feel overwhelmed and you feel like, I just don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to make it, but what we need to understand is God only stirs the nest so that the wings that He's given us can cause us to soar victoriously and overcome everything hell brings against our life.
Wow. One of the things I get asked probably more than any other question when I'm out speaking are people who say to me, you know, you said that God is all powerful. You also said that God is love. You'll have to pick one. You know, I think of an example of a woman who said to me, I've buried two children. So either God is powerful, but He's not loving, or He's loving, but He's not powerful. How do we trust God when things are going devastatingly wrong?
Exactly. It's a great question. And to be quite honest, in the last 2 years, we've gone through things that, you know, I had to ask myself, how did we get here? How did this happen to us? I thought my nest was very secure. And we've gone through seasons, as I'm sure every viewer watching this program has had things happen. Number one, you have to realize that what Job realized, you can trust God when you're submerged in suffering, when you feel like you can't find the bottom and everything's gone wrong. And everything that you thought was secure and comfortable and permanent, suddenly you find your season when you're falling out of the nest like that little eaglet squawking and saying help, and it doesn't feel like any help is coming. But listen to me, somebody needs to hear this. Your Father can fly faster than you can fall. Huh. He's not going to let you crash. Job learned to trust God when he was submerged in suffering. Job learned to trust God even when he was forsaken by his friends and his own family. There's a verse in Job that says, even my own family and friends have forsaken me. That's really when you're low, Sheila. And all of us will face times when someone in the family betrays, someone in the family hurts, someone in the family divorces, someone in the family does something and there's division. I guarantee you right now, there are grandparents who haven't seen their grandchildren watching this program. Division has come and destroyed, and you just feel overwhelmed and like you want to give up. But Job learned that there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Job learned that when you are walking through darkness like you've never experienced before, you don't have to be overwhelmed. You can overcome. How? He said, I go forward. God's not there. He couldn't find God. You ever been in a season like that? You ever felt like, where is God? How long? You know, that's what David prayed over and over. How long? I know you're good, God. I know you answer prayer. I know your word is true. But how long is this going to go on? And Job learned to trust God. This was the ultimate thing. God never gave him an answer. He kept asking, why, how long? God never gave him an answer, but he always gives promises. And the book of Job was written for one purpose, to teach us that faith in God is better than an answer.
Wow.
And when you hold on to the promise of God and listen to Job's words, though he slay me, here it is, I will trust him. Trust God, hold on, because he's not through blessing you. He's not through using you. He's not through. He has a long range plan. And Job had to learn the same thing that Joseph had to learn. Yeah. Joseph in Genesis 50 and verse 20, he said to, you know, we think that God was talking randomly to people through him, that all these people, but he was in that particular text speaking to his own flesh and blood, his own brothers. And he said, you meant it for evil. Family, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for my good.
Powerful.
Yeah, Yeah, you know, the Bible is not ignorant of the struggles we go through. And you referenced Psalm 40, a great one for anyone who might be going through a difficult time right now. You also said that you'd faced some things, and I certainly don't mean to pry. I'm just curious, whatever the circumstances were, what did they evoke in you that you had to deal with? Was it anxiety? Was it abandonment? Was it fear? What have you had to really wrestle with?
I think it was situations with family, perhaps, and with fear of what could happen, what might happen, things that you can't control. Mm. Really, isn't that it? When it feels like life is, you know, you can't control other people. You can't control other situations. You can't control what some people say or do, and you can't even control your reputation or anything else. All you can do in certain seasons in life, in battles that you get thrown into, is trust God and say, God, you know. When I don't know, when things feel completely out of control, God is still in control. And one thing I've learned, that there are some things that happen that you look in life and you say, things will never be the same again. It's just the reality. A tragedy, a car wreck, a loss of a child, something happens, a business deal that goes wrong and alters everything. And when things feel like it'll never be the same again, but the scripture said he makes all things new. And also, I want to remind our audience today that God knows where you are. He knows what you're facing. There's encouragement. There's faith that can overcome today. You know, even in our society, even in what's going on in our nation and in the world, you look at what's happening in the Ukraine, and it just seems like it's one thing after another, and people are filled with anxiety, discouragement, depression, and fear. And we know today that, and I hear people always talking about the book of Revelation as though it's a book of gloom and doom. It is not. It is a book of overcoming power. Jesus says, yes, I recognize that bad things are going to happen ultimately in this world. But he said, don't be troubled. Don't give up hope. Don't throw in the towel. The book of Revelation is also the book that shows Jesus overcoming death, hell, and the grave. Yes. Jesus overcoming Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, throwing them in a lake of fire. The book of Revelation is also the promise of heaven where there's no more sorrow, no more pain, no more tears, no more divided families and homes, no more children growing up without a mom or a dad. The pain, the agony, the abuse that people have suffered, one day there will be no more. And that's the message. The message of the book of Revelation is not end time hysteria, gloom and doom. The message of the book of Revelation in the end times is simply Revelation 12. And they overcame him. Speaking of Satan, the Antichrist, it's when 777 overcomes 666. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony.
You know, when I read through your book, I heard it as a kind of a clarion call to wake up. Because I think that something that happened during the pandemic is a lot of people became self-protective, pulled back, even pulled back from being part of church community. True. But it seems to me that you're saying in this book, no, this is time to wake up because the fields are white for harvest.
You're exactly right. It's crazy to be in the end times. That's why I wrote this book. It's crazy to be in the end times and never talk about it. And I'm not one of these guys. Jesus may come 100. I believe you ought to have a vision for the next 100 years. But I believe also that Jesus is coming again. And the church is like Esther there in a beauty contest, and we need some Mordecais. The Bible said he tore off his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and cried out and said, you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Wake up, wake up. This is our hour. This is not a time for us to be a nice little sweet beauty contest contestant. It's time for the church to take its place and rise up and be what God's called us to be.
Amen.
Yeah, you referenced Revelation, and it also says about us, those who have been bought by the blood of Christ, that we are a kingdom and priests to our God. That sounds like an overcomer to me. And you talk about in your book, we're not supposed to be just surviving. We're here to be overcoming. How do we do that?
Absolutely. You know, in Matthew 24, the big end time chapter of the New Testament, Matthew 24, it's when Jesus said, the disciples came and they wanted to know two things. They said, what are the signs of your coming that we should be looking for? Tell us, what's the signs and when? We want a time and we want the signs. And Jesus, instead of answering their question, shifted. And he did not answer their question that they asked. Instead, he told them the most important things. He gave them five things that they need to do if they're going to be ready for his coming. And the first thing he said was, take heed to yourself. What's important about the end times, more important than what's happening out there, the horses of the apocalypse and this and that and the world stage, what's going on? He said, when you see the signs and the times happening, go inward and say, how am I doing? How's my thought life? Yeah. How's my passion for Jesus? How's my devotion? How's my family? How's my marriage? Mm-hmm. Take heed to yourself. We need to understand that the whole book and prophecy is not about just us hearing and seeing signs, but it's about us drawing closer to the Lord. Mm-hmm. It's about motivating us to draw closer to the Lord. And I'm afraid the church is asleep. I'm afraid many people are just being so overwhelmed with their daily issues that they're drifting and going further and further away. Take heed to yourself. Look within. And then he said, look at him. Look at him. That's why he said in Matthew 24, when you see all this stuff, see that you're not troubled. Isn't that an amazing verse? He lists all, you know, wars and rumors of wars and this and that. And then he stops and he says, but see that you're not troubled. In other words, look to him. Mm-hmm. Don't be like Simon Peter in the storm and get your eyes on the waves and the wind. Keep looking at him, mm-hmm. the author and the finisher of our faith. And then he said, thirdly, he said, you're to look out. You're to look for people that are lost. He said, when this gospel, Matthew 24, these are the priorities of Jesus in the end times. This gospel shall be preached. That's what you do on this amazing program all over the world. When this gospel is preached into all the world, then the end shall come. So something ought to happen to us that says, I've got to reach the people in the world all around me. And finally, he ends. He says, look, he says, I want you to look not only I want you to look out, but I also want you to look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Mm-hmm. In other words, I don't want a church that's beat up, depressed, looking down, defeated, mm-hmm. discouraged. You know, the ark that God gave the design to Noah for had one window in it, and it was on the third floor. He wanted to make sure when Noah was going through the storms, he was looking up. There's no way to look but up. And God wants us to have a look up spirit. And really, I feel that. I sense that. You know, if you hold on, God will give you a look up spirit. You can make it. And you know why he said look up? He goes on to say, for your redemption draweth nigh. Yeah. Yep. The redemption is coming to your house. Redemption is coming to your son that's on drugs. Redemption is coming. That family that God promised you, redemption is coming to your sons and your daughters and your grandchildren. Don't you give up. Wow. Don't you let this stuff overwhelm you. Redemption is coming. God says, I'm not going to let the Antichrist outdo my Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to move across the earth and the nation like never before. And it's time for us to realize that this is our greatest hour. Yeah. And it's
time to
overcome.
As you can tell, you are going to want to have this book for yourself. There is so much more. And we're going to tell you how to get hold of Jensen's brand new book. But before that, part of our looking out is here at Life as we look out at children who are struggling and who are asking for something that's actually pretty simple, and it's something that together we can do. So watch this, and then I'll tell you how you can get hold of Jensen's book. Watch this.
There's nothing like the sights and sounds of Christmas to bring a smile to one's face, especially to the face of a child. But for tens of thousands of children around the world, there is little to smile about at Christmas time. That all changes when they receive a brand new pair of shoes, many for the first time in their lives. Without shoes, these children must face the very real challenge of disease and infection entering their bodies through their feet. A very real danger is being infected with hookworms that can lead to stunted physical and mental development. The smiles on their faces upon receiving their new shoes reflects the joy of Christmas that comes from giving to those in need. And yet, there are still others that cannot share their gratitude because they simply cannot smile without corrective surgery for cleft lip or palate. Now you can help bring smiles to so many with a gift these children will never forget. No matter if they smile for a season or for a lifetime, won't you please consider making a lasting difference in the lives of these precious children? There is a child waiting for someone to help them smile this Christmas. You can be that special someone to give them a smile.
I have to say, this is one of my favorite mission outreaches that we do every year. And I know it's probably a little early to show you children unwrapping their gifts, but we do that very intentionally because there are so many children around the world who've never had one pair of shoes. So this year, our goal is to provide 150,000 pairs of shoes for children. Can you imagine that? 150,000 children getting their very first pair of shoes. Isn't it incredible to think that something as little as this could literally, in some cases, save a child's life? They're not asking for a lot. I mean, I remember the first pair of shoes. I still have the first pair of shoes that I got for my son in his little chest where I keep everything. And there's just something wonderful as a mom or a dad about putting a pair of shoes on your child's feet to protect them. And in places like that where there's so many open cuts and wounds and the water is so badly infected, it literally could save their lives. So why don't we make this Christmas different than any Christmas that we've had before? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we involve our whole family? Because we can all, if we all take part, wouldn't that bring more joy on Christmas morning? To think that as we celebrate the greatest gift ever given, that we know that somewhere around the world, and we'll bring you photos later, there's children experiencing their very first pair of shoes, and they're coming in Jesus' name. And this is something we can do, Randy, together.
We can. And did you know, Sheila, that your corner drugstores open late on Christmas Eve? You probably don't know that, but I do, because I've been that guy shopping for Christmas gifts.
In the drugstore.
In the drugstore.
On Christmas Eve.
On Christmas Eve, yeah. And that's why we're talking about this earlier this year, because it takes time, obviously, to get the shoes, get them in all the places where we minister. And we need to know from you that we're going to be able to reach that goal. Are we going to be able to put shoes on 150,000 children this year and provide the surgeries? Let me tell you a little bit of the breakdown, because I want you to get this. I want you to be on board with this. It costs an average of $500 to do one of those corrective surgeries to put that smile on a child's face where they can actually smile. And this is obviously hugely transformative in this child's life. But just oftentimes, just as impactful is the fact that these children get shoes. Your gift of $180 today would actually provide shoes for 50 children. It's 50 children that will get shoes, many of them for the first time, and they'll go on and pass them down to siblings through the years. A gift of $72 would provide 20 pairs of shoes. Whatever you can do, maybe you've got the means to be able to give $1,000 and provide 275 pairs of shoes or two surgeries. Whatever you can do, we ask that you just do it now. Don't wait. Let's not be the last minute. Let's reach that goal. Let's reach out and let's make this Christmas special for so many children around the world. Go to the phone, go online, and do it now.
Poverty is a killer, and because of it, children needlessly suffer, not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we often take for granted, like a simple pair of shoes. Far too many children living in extreme poverty have never owned a new pair of shoes. And while that may seem minor in light of all their needs, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of life-threatening infections and disease that could lead to crippling consequences and even death. By responding today, you will help secure and make ready 150,000 pairs of Christmas shoes to be shipped and delivered to children around the world just in time for the holidays. Your gift of $36 will help provide 10 pairs of shoes. A gift of $72 will help provide 20 pairs. And a gift of $180 will help provide 50 pairs of Christmas shoes for children in need. As a thank you for your gift of support, be sure to request this beautifully crafted red crystal shoe ornament, a treasure to display at each Christmas. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request this keepsake boxed set featuring four of life's crystal Christmas shoe ornaments. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide over 275 pairs of shoes or two children with corrective cleft lip or palate surgeries, and you may request the beautiful bronze sculpture, Let the Children Come. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Many people don't realize the impact that a cleft lip and cleft palate can have on a young child and the family. With the cleft palate, they will not be able to breastfeed, and that can cause real problems for nutrition, and it can also cause them to have more commonly have chest infections, and that can even lead to death. But if the child survives as they grow, they will then start to realize that they have this cleft palate, and they will really suffer psychologically. Thanks to partners like Life Outreach International, we're able to make lasting changes in children's lives through corrective surgery. Several children that we've operated on, their lips and their palates, and the children are healthy, they look normal. There's so much more work to be done, literally thousands of families waiting for help. But we can only do it with your continuing support. God bless you.
Thank you so much. Please keep going to the phones. Let's not be the body of Christ by accident. Let's be the body of Christ by intentionality, that we are going to stand up and do our part. And for any gift at all today, ask for your own copy of Jensen's book. It's called Overcoming When You Feel Overwhelmed. Amazing.
I'm feeling pretty fired up after this, Sheila. I don't know about you. Jensen, thank you for being with us. Thank you for sharing that truth and encouragement. We sure appreciate all that you do.
It's such an honor to be with you and love what you're doing all around the world. God bless you. God bless everybody watching.
Thank you.
And thank you for being with us. We'll see you again next time here on Life Today.
Tomorrow, celebrated television personality Kathy Lee Gifford shares her mission in life.
And they saw God's faithfulness in my life.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.